from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. What is happening here on a Tuesday morning? Good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what is happening? Shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, our good friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the rush, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flush. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We got Spinotti back in the saddle. Lopman back there running around with his head cut off. And Shasky to build it as well. Giants lose a tough one yesterday. They lose a tough one. And runners in scoring position are going to do them in. Because 1-for-8 yesterday with runners in scoring position since July 26th. They're 29-for-157 with runners in scoring position. That is a 185 batting average. And that's tough because you have Blake Snell and Chris Sale throwing out a masterpiece yesterday. Blake Snell's been dynamic. We got numbers on him since he's come back from the IR, or IL, I guess you should say, Shasky. But, you know, Blake Snell, dominant. Dominant since he's returned in 45 innings. 60 strikeouts in 45 innings since he's returned from the IL, Shasky. He's been lights out, but the Giants lose 1-0. They lose some ground on the Braves. Now 4 back in the loss column on the Braves. 3 back in the New York Mets. 7 back in the Diamondbacks and Padres. So they got to get rolling here before a tough September.
Yeah, that wasn't the best part of last night.
What was the best part of last night?
Let's get ready. Let's start it now.
No.
I want to get this out of the way.
Nope.
There was a duel happening last night.
We're gonna save that. We're gonna save
it. What?
No, we're gonna do this properly.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Let's get it over with. I've got real Giants takes to get off.
People are asleep. We're going to wait.
I think that headlines the 8 a.m. hour, right? We want the most people listening.
Yes, absolutely.
We want the
8 o'clock hour for you. Apologies. We're not going to 6:07.
TSL, time spent listening. Come on.
Exactly. Save that. Don't try to.
There's a journalist that deserves to be waxed poetically about for 90 seconds.
And another one for 30 seconds.
And the people need to hear it at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
I hate you both. Let's start here, then.
Nice try, buddy.
For a left-handed hitter. I mean, obviously, Blake Snell is absolutely nasty when he's on. But my goodness, in terms of, like, comfort level, at least his delivery is somewhat routine. The delivery for Chris Sale is so funky, and he's got that sidearm sling, and he's so tall and so lanky. It's like elbows and arms coming at you. He's as uncomfortable as an at-bat as I can remember in such a long time. And I know Krug and Kipe were comparing him to Randy Johnson. I wouldn't put him in the Randy Johnson mold. I get what they're coming at, where he's kind of throwing across his body, but he slings it so goofy, and that slider that he throws, it's just so nasty. And you can see a lot of guys were barely making contact last night, but he's one of those guys, and you kind of walked right into the green room today, and it's like when they give you opportunities early in games, you have to cash in a run. You just do. And the longer that game goes and the longer that guy stays on the mound, the harder it is to drum together multiple hits. And that was just one of those ones. You knew that the Giants were going to be like, we're going to be looking back at the first couple of innings of this game, and we're going to have regret all over ourselves. Now, let's get to Blake Snell.
Real quick, before we move on from Chris Sale, it's good to see him healthy. It really is.
He's a stud.
I mean, he lost his 2020 season, basically. His 2021 season and his 2022 season. I thought he was done. Last year, he had 4.3 ERA with the Boston Red Sox. I thought he was cooked. I thought the arm injuries, I thought everything that was happening, he's had some shenanigans happening in the dugout or whatnot.
I mean, cut up a bunch of jerseys. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of him.
I mean, he's had a long road here. And to see him bounce back and come to the National League for the first time in his career, because he's a longtime White Sox and Boston Red Sox, so he played for both Sox teams. He's 13-3 now with a 2.61 ERA with 177 strikeouts this year. And he's 35 years old. It's not like he's some spring young whippersnapper here. He's old. He's 35 years old, and he's having a career season at the age of 35. So I think watching yesterday, watching him go toe-to-toe with Blake Snell, and not get knocked out of the game in the first inning, because in the first inning, the Giants had their shot to go ahead and score some runs and give Blake Snell a lead, which is what we talk about all the time when it comes to runners in scoring position here, 185 since July 26th. When it comes to batting average, it's just good to see Blake Snell, one of the better pitchers in baseball, redeem himself, find himself, and have a special, special season. The last 3 years, he's been awful. Basically been wiped out.
Yeah. Chris Sale is just, he's just a unique player, and like, again, the delivery, the frame, he's super skinny. He is, like, in my head, I'm like, what the hell happened with the whole, like, the jersey cutting up of the boxes and then the dugout, and clearly some of his teammates didn't like him, you know? So, I don't know. There was a lot of stuff going on. He was so iced out at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had that kind of drip.
Yeah.
It's just a very interesting individual, and you're right. Baseball is better when he's dominant, you know, and it goes to show you, like, man, the White Sox have had so many good players. I was watching that game last night. Not only was I thinking about Chris Sale and Blake Snell, we'll get to him. I was thinking about, my God, it's Oakland A's everywhere. Ramon Laureano in center field. You got Murphy behind the dish. Olsen at first. Chapman at third. There's like a slew of former A's. And I know A's fans out there are nodding their head like, yeah, we know. We're the farm system for the rest of the league. But it's just unfortunate how many, like, legitimately high-end baseball players have played in Oakland just in the last couple of years.
No doubt. By the way, the White Sox did beat the Yankees yesterday. Ha-ha. I told you guys they'd go one against the Yankees.
What did I do wrong?
They won 12-2, by the way, yesterday. 12-2. No, you're right. A lot of Oakland A's on that team, and they've been a farm system for a lot of teams. Sean Murphy, though, looks lost at the plate. He looks awful. Awful. He doesn't even have the confidence. He watched that lady get that bat that he had. He wasn't even, it was like, this guy's got no shot.
Well, catchers in general, if you just look at, like, all of the batting averages, the war, the defensive metrics, like all that stuff, like, as bad as Bailey's been this year, and he's fallen off the cliff in the last, I'd say, month and a half, all the catchers are giving you very little production. The days of the Joe Mauers and you know, the Yadier, even Yadier batting .250 and hitting 15 home runs, like, those are few and far between. JT Realmuto is the gold standard at the position across the league. Nice. I mean, offensively and defensively. Although I will say, Bailey threw out, I forget who it was last night.
Whit Merrifield.
Casey Schmidt had a tag that was just absolutely brilliant. And he rips one up the middle last night and has nothing to show for it because Sale made a hell of a play.
Whit Merrifield went on the first pitch there and Bailey got him out. It was a great tag by Casey Schmidt there to get Whit Merrifield there late in the game. He went on the first pitch. He didn't waste no time there when he got to first base. So, look, Blake Snell on the other side. Scott Boras is not going to let him sign right now. I would give him 3 years for 100.
Wait, how much?
3 years for 100. I've been saying this for the last couple weeks.
I don't think that gets it done.
No, it may not get it done, and I don't think he's going to re-sign. But this is why I didn't want Blake Snell traded. Even if he walks and the Giants get nothing back or any a comp pick or whatnot, how fun is this to watch him?
You don't get a comp pick because you signed him.
So you don't get the comp pick. So whatever. Yeah. I don't really care, honestly. If he walks for free and he opts out and he goes to another team, this has been fun. This has been extremely, extremely fun. Extremely, extremely fun. The patience that you got to have with Blake Snell. I don't get why he starts off so slow. But again, when you look at his numbers for the last 3 years, when he does get to the second half of the season, he is absolutely dominant. And he's on pace to have a better second half than he did last year when he won a Cy Young with the San Diego Padres. Now, you think about what he did, what he's done so far this year. The 45 innings, Shasky, 45 and a third, the 60 strikeouts, he's walked 14. He's got an 0.99 ERA since he's returned from the IL. An 0.99 ERA since he's returned from the IL. Now, you look at what he's done in the second half, so the last 3 years, 2021, 3.24 ERA, 1.04 WHIP. 2022, 2.19 ERA, 1.02 WHIP. And then last year, he had a 1.54 ERA and a 1.14 ERA, WHIP, in the months of July, August, and September. He's on pace to eclipse all those numbers. I mean, this is fun. Aren't you glad they didn't trade him?
Yeah, but I want to see him stay with the Giants. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm looking at the Giants' payroll, right? Okay? So locked in for next year. 17 mil for Jung-Hoo Lee. This is just on the whole team, locked in. Hicks for 12.5, Webb for 12, Rogers for 12. The following year, you only have three guys under contract for big money. Hicks, Webb, Lee. 23, 23, and 12.5 for Hicks. 2027, same three. 2028, only two guys. Now, if you're looking at trying to have a payroll in the 200 millions, which is, that's top 10. If you're 212 or higher, that's top 10. That's where the Giants are currently, all right? That's where the big boys are. The Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Astros, Rangers, Jays, Braves, Cubs, Giants come in at 10. All your young players have 2 years away. And they're not even arbitration eligible.
Yeah.
Bailey, Fitz, Ramos, Birdsong, Harrison, Jelly. Now, I don't know if all of those guys are guys that you're going to want to re-up long-term. But what I'm saying is that, like, if ever there was a time, because your books were clear, to just do a crazy overpay for 4 or 5 years, and I understand how risky it is. It is rife with pitchers get hurt left and right. But isn't this kind of the guy? Like, go in on pitching. He's a lefty. I know it's risky. I know you're going to have to pay the Giants tax because you're not the Yankees. You don't give them run support. I mean, Bonte, a game like yesterday is a game why he would probably say, well, I need some run support. This is why I got to go. But this is where I'm saying, is it outlandish to go 4 for $200?
Oh, you want to go 4 for $200 now?
$50 million a year.
Wow, you've really you've come around on Blake Snell.
Because this is why. This is why I'm saying. I almost feel like you have to overpay to just, like, let's lock in one guy. If I said to you for the next 3 or 4 years.
Who's his chest?
Because, like, team building. Like, I'm saying, like, if I just said to you for the next two or three years, I had Logan Webb making relative good money. $23 million is good money for Logan Webb the next couple years. Logan Webb and Blake Snell at the top of your rotation. That takes so much pressure off of Harrison and Birdsong. And now, even if I know, hey, Blake, he's like a Ferrari. He can go into the shop and be out a month. But when he's on, I mean, you're getting, this is ace-like stuff when he's on. And I just looked at one guy, and I'm not saying he's the exact same player. But if you look at Verlander and you look at Kershaw, ages 31 through 35, the premium guys, when they're healthy, they're giving you unbelievable production. You're going to get low threes ERA. You're going to get double-digit wins. You're going to get 160 to 180 innings pitched. Like, yeah, I know. It's rife with risk. And I'm looking at these deals. 12 for 325 for Yamamoto. The Giants were going to do that? The guy hasn't even thrown a pitch in the bigs when they were going to throw him that money. I look at Garrett Cole, 9 for 325. The AAV is about $36 million. The AAV for Wheeler on his new deal is $42 million. The AAV on Verlander, $43
million.
If you
want to
be in the game. No, I'm serious.
I'm amazed.
If you want to be in the game for Blake Snell, It starts at 50 million.
Wait, you're in the game for Blake Snell now.
I think you have to roll the dice.
Wow.
And I understand it's risky. I freely admit this is a risk. You're probably going to regret it when he's 35.
It's not a risk.
But I think you got to put your flag in the ground and say, we're going to be hell-bent on him having elite pitching.
Well, I got news for you. And I love Blake Snell. I'm so happy they didn't trade him. I'm really happy they didn't trade him. For all the folks who bought the Snell stock, good on you. But Clayton Kershaw, this is his last year with the Dodgers?
Yeah, but he's like 30. I'm looking at his numbers. He's 36 this year. Turns 37.
It's probably his last year,
yeah.
Right? Blake Snell's going to be a Dodger next year. You got your Clayton Kershaw replacement right there.
But you can't let him go there.
Well, like, what do you mean? You can't do anything about it. He's going to opt out.
But no, he will opt out.
He will look at the Giants money and say, yeah, I'd rather get that from the Dodgers.
And this is where I think, to me, you have to
shut up.
You have to overpay. And like, do I want a 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 year deal? No. But like, I think a 5 for 250, 4 for 200. I honestly think it starts at about $50 million a year.
For Blake Snell.
If you're the Giants, because you have to pay a Giants tax.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's going to go to, I think he's going to the Dodgers.
You know what Sam said to me? When what? I go, what about 4 for $200? He goes, well, and then that fifth year, so player option.
Yeah, well, it would be a player option. But you know what? He's going to replace Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers. That's honestly, when I was watching a pitch yesterday, and I'm watching him deal, and again, his second half numbers.
Even think that.
Well, no, I'm just trying to help you out here.
I know.
I'm just trying to help you out here as you swing the pendulum from Blake Snell. And look, I get it. Blake Snell has been a roller coaster this year. A lot of people scoffed at Blake Snell earlier this season. He was hurt. He tried to rush himself back. Two different IL stints. But this is what he does. This is why I try to preach patience with Blake Snell, because this is what he does. When it's winning time and it's money time, he performs with the brightest lights. Now, I can see the Yankees. I can see the Dodgers. Not the Cubs. The Phillies.
The Cubs are in the mix,
but I don't know if he's going to go there.
No, I agree with that.
I see him either going to the Yankees, Dodgers, and even Seattle may make a play out of him because he's from up there in the Pacific Northwest.
I had heard through interesting sources that Houston was really in on him on a one-year deal this year. He said no. I bet you Houston circles back around, and I bet the Texas Rangers circle back around.
Texas may circle back around with Bruce Bochy. I don't know if he'd go to Houston because they're getting longer in the tooth.
No doubt.
You don't know where they're going to be at next
season. Although they'll probably make the playoffs
again, and Valdez dealt yesterday.
They were horrible for 2 months.
I mean, that's what the Astros do.
What if I told you this one? DeGrom got a 5 for $185.
No, I
think that's getting it done with the Giants.
Well, I wanted a 3-year, $400 million for Blake Snell right away, but he's not going to sign anything right now. Scott Boras is going to say, we're opting out, and we're going to test the market. And he's going to test the market and be the top pitcher on the free agency market. And you bet your ass he's going to sign early, and these big boy teams are going to line up, and they're going to say, oh. And Blake Snell's looking at where the Giants are at right now. You're game over 500. You're 4 back at these same Atlanta Braves who can't hit anything right now. They can't hit a wet paper bag right now.
Yeah.
And they still beat you. And then you got all these youngsters, and you realize that, boy, are they going to be ready to win at a high level next season? Are they really? Is the Ramoses? Is the Fitzgeralds? Is the Lucianos who can't? By the way, you want to hustle him down first base, please? Can you bust your ass down the line?
Well, I think he thought he caught it on the fly,
but you got to be running hard, dude.
And then he immediately regretted it, and I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy. Everybody's talking about it. So Blake Snell's in a position where he wants to win. He tasted the World Series already. He's tasted some big-time moments with the Padres. He wants to win. I don't know if he believes that he could win here in San Francisco with this team. What are they going to do next season? How are the Giants going to put together a winner that's competitive towards the Dodgers, towards the Diamondbacks? They're not only light years behind the Dodgers right now. You're 7 back in a lost column of the San Diego Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, I guess my start would be to him, like, all right, look, you clearly can see that we've got two young, promising pitchers in Harrison and Birdsong, but they're going to be like middle to bottom of the rotation guys for the next couple of years. Logan Webb, he's a 1A, 1B type of a guy. You would be our 1A, 1B type of a guy in that rotation. I don't know what's going to happen with Robbie Ray. You're asking me, how do you compete against those teams? Well, clearly it's been pitching. Well, like pitching and defense, and that's what they need to do.
Let me ask you
this. Do they need to add a bopper? Of course they do.
Let me ask you this. If you're Blake Snell, and the Dodgers come to you and say, hey, you could be our third
There's
pitcher.
No, I mean, if the Dodgers are offering you comparable money, again, I
He's
don't know
going
what
to
his
LA.
Out. Yeah, well, the Dodgers, the Yankees, even Boston.
I think we're watching his final 7-8 starts with the Giants.
Well, that sucks.
Like, it does suck. I mean, I've enjoyed the ride. I've enjoyed the ride, but the Giants haven't done enough around them.
No.
They just haven't.
Well, and like, you know, last night, you know, great example. You know, the Braves used their entire roster to try to win that game in the 10th inning. They realized that the moment to go in was that 10th inning. I know the Giants had Kirk Cassali still left on the bench, but they used all their base runners. They used pinch hitters, and they realized we're going to get this win because that to them was a playoff game. They needed that win really bad. They kept sailing longer than I thought they would.
No doubt. He dealt.
That was a huge game last night.
Last 7 games for Blake Snell again. If you're Blake Snell, you're thinking, boy, I can't get a win around here. He's 2-0 in his last 7. 2-0.
Should be like 4 or 5-0.
Exactly. He's got 5 no
at
decisions.
Minimum.
His ERA is 0.99 and his whip is 0.62. All right? And you think he's going to stay here?
That's why you have to overpay. I mean, I admit, B, we are not the premier destination. I get it. But I do believe you knock a guy away in terms of the money, I think you put yourself in a good position. That doesn't look 40 million from the Dodgers is better than 50 million from the Giants.
Yeah,
I can't argue that.
I think we're watching the final 2 months of Blake Snell. And again, I'm not mad they didn't trade him. I was against trading him for a low-level prospect that we may never see come up to the major leagues. I'm okay with that. But he's going to leave. Like that. That's brace yourself, folks. More coming up on the Giants. We got a lot of stuff going on here. We'll explain on the other side. Great guest list as well. That's all coming up, brought to you by Express Employment Professionals.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yee!
Turtle Pie. Got that smoke, baby. Got that smoke. Check out the latest episode of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys with Sam Love and Joe Sasky celebrating 100 episodes of the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area. How about that? Give them a round of applause. 100 episodes, Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. Catch episode 100 now. Wow, for the special episode. Say hello, we caught up with Giants All-Star Logan Webb. How about that? Maybe one day you'll cut it up and maybe we could play some of it on the show, Lubbin. Yep. Available wherever you listen to your podcast. Shask, I love the Xfinity Mobile text line because you get a text from the 510. I get a text from the 510. Bonte is living proof of the older you get, the more negative you get. Actually, I'm living proof that the older you get, the more you don't beat around the bush.
Okay.
The more you just tell the truth.
So
And I don't know what was so negative. I love Blake Snell. I didn't want Blake Snell to be traded. But the proof is, I'm just trying to look at it from the other side. Why would he want to re-sign with the Giants in our current state?
That's sad, all. But it's true.
Well, I think money. you're asking me what motivates a guy. Obviously, money, winning, culture, fit, family, all those things. But money. Money is not, it's not always the number one thing. But as we're learning, you know, money is a big part of this. Okay. It's not the end all be all. And not all money is created equal. New England money isn't the same as San Francisco 49er money for a guy by the name of Brandon Ayuk. But for Blake Snell, it's the same thing with Brandon Ayuk. If Brandon Ayuk really was going to get lured to New England, it had to be $40 million a year.
Yep.
For him to even consider it. So when I look at where the Giants are at, if you have 17 committed to Jung-Hoo Lee next year, Hicks at 12.5, that's about 30. Then you got Webb and Rogers, that's another 24. So you got $55 million of your $212 million payroll that you to get into that top 10. Because we all think the Giants should be in the top 10 annually of the payroll.
And they have been this year.
Okay, so to get to that number, you got to pay somebody. And when I look at their best players that are young, Bailey's got 2 more years of arbitration, meaning his number is going to be suppressed. Tyler Fitzgerald, 2 more years after this one of arbitration. So his number is going to be suppressed. Ramos as well. Birdsong as well. Harrison as well. Yep. Jelly as well. All right? The number committed after 225, it's just 3 guys. Hicks, Webb, Lee. Webb, Lee, Hicks in 2027. Webb and Lee in 2028. You got to pay somebody. Now, if you bring back Blake Snell, hypothetically in this situation, you give, even if you give him $50 or $55 million a year for 3, 4, 5 years, yeah, okay, whatever it's going to take, well, then maybe Robbie Ray, instead of opting out, maybe he opts in. Maybe Robbie Ray is a guy who thinks about re-signing with you because Blake Snell's on board and you're trying to bulk up and have the best starting staff 1 through 5 in baseball. Maybe Matt Chapman decides to opt in. Maybe Matt Chapman is more apt to sign a 3 or 4 year deal. Like, you get where I'm going with this? You've got a lot of team controlled assets that are going to be salary suppressed.
You know,
is the time to overspend.
You know what though? They've been in this position the last 2 years, Olshansky. And it's, I'm just going to take the other side here, because they have been in this position to where they don't have a lot of money committed on the books. And you look at their offseason classes, their free agency classes, their inability to strike and overpay guys, they failed at that. And if the guys call it a shot, and Farhan Zaidi is going to be around here, because now I'm having my doubts about him leaving, I could see a scenario in which he's back. Well, Farhan Zaidi, would he be willing to give Blake Snell $40 to $50 million a year? I have my doubts. I really have my doubts. Now, you look at the free agency market here next season, and there's a lot of guys that are going to be free agents. Obviously, Robbie Ray, who you just mentioned, could opt out. Max Scherzer, at the age of 40, is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He'll sign somewhere, because I don't think he's done quite yet.
He's a final piece for a winner.
Justin Verlander is going to be 42 next year. We'll see what happens with him. He's coming off the books with the Astros at $43 million, to the point where they may just retool their starting rotation and say, hey, here, Blake. Here, Gerrit Cole has an opt-out with the New York Yankees at $36 million. Will he opt out looking for new money? Probably. Maybe.
Wow,
possibly. He's going to probably opt out. Patrick Corbin's cooked. He's going to be a restricted free agent. He'll be on somebody's back of the roster.
I could see the Giants bringing him in as a 6th starter.
See that? There we go.
Could you not?
Well, that's...
It's got Ross Stripling, Sean Manaea written all over it.
Well, it doesn't have Blake Snell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Written all over it.
No,
basically, you're telling me that we're going bargain basement shopping. We're going to Ross Dress for Less and getting a Patrick Corbin, or, dare I say, a Charlie Morton, who's going to be 41 years old if he doesn't retire. He's making $20 million this year, by the way, Charlie Morton. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here for Giants fans, because trust me, I want Blake Snell around. I'm so thrilled.
I just think you got to plant the flag.
You got to try to plant the flag, but haven't they tried to plant the flag over the last 5 years?
Well, I would say that this year's different, and the reason why this year in particular is different is because you didn't have an all-star center fielder in Elliot Ramos, who's under 25 years old. You didn't have the emergence of Harrison and Birdsong for a full season, right? So those make things different. Bailey, I still believe, is a starting catcher. I think he's an upper echelon. Now, I don't think he's top tier, but he's an upper echelon starting catcher, especially given how bad the position is offensively in the game. And then I look at Tyler Fitzgerald. I don't know what Tyler Fitzgerald is.
Honestly, though, if you're Blake Snell and you've played with some dominant teams, mm-hmm. the Tampa Bay Rays, you played with a great lineup in San Diego that went nowhere, but you were there. I mean, if you're Blake Snell, is that enough to convince you to stay here and think that you could compete in the division? Ribber, you're in the division now.
He signed a one-year deal.
But hold on.
To play on a team that wasn't even...
Yeah, he signed late. No doubt. He had to re-up his value.
He already came here.
But he sees it now where he's saying to himself, we're 7 games behind the Padres and the Diamondbacks, second and third place teams. Can I honestly compete within my own division with the Giants?
But this is where you have to overpay. Like, I'm telling you, we are not, on the level of the Padres in terms of sex appeal. We are not on the level of the Braves.
I understand all that. We've said this with Aaron Judge. We said this with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, this is where
every free agent over the last 3 years. Overpay, overpay, overpay. And it still wasn't good enough because players, they want their money and they know, oh, I could still get comparable money and still be in a position to win at the highest level.
But this is different because he's actually wearing your uniform right now.
But the Giants aren't ready to win at the highest level yet.
I mean,
these guys aren't ready to roll.
They're in the mix.
Is Mookie Betts going anywhere?
No.
Is Shohei going anywhere?
No, but their books aren't immaculate.
It's not immaculate, but they're ready to spin. The Padres, is Manny Machado going anywhere? Xander Bogaerts? Jackson Merrill? I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr.? I mean, who else?
Why didn't he sign with those guys on a one-year deal this year? Because of the money. Because the Giants gave him more money than anyone on the one-year deal this year.
I hear you. I don't even want to be this guy.
The only trump card I have, you're right. The only trump card I have is the Giants have to oversell.
Well, they have to oversell, but then the Yankees just say, hey, Blake Snell, you like pinstripes? You like pinstripes?
I mean, they were another team that was rumored with Blake Snell, and they didn't go to the $32 million and structure it the way the Giants did.
Well, now they may.
This is where what I'm saying is, if you even want to be in the game with Blake Snell, it starts at like $10 million per season more than whatever you think he's out there getting.
And Scott Boras may still steer him into another direction, saying, look, well, you can make $10 million less, say, in Philadelphia, right? You go to Philadelphia, you make $10 million less, but we're going to make some of that up with endorsements, with commercials, all that stuff. So
I look at the Aaron Nola deal. He's got a 7-year, $172 million deal. It's only $25 million a year. It's a really good value. Wheeler got him this last time for $42 million a year. So to me, if you want to be in the mix, it starts at $8 to $10 million more than what Wheeler just got. Wheeler got a 3-year 126. So you're saying 3 for 100? I don't think that's even close.
Well, no, I was saying this 2 weeks ago I was like, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Blake Snell, I said extend him right now for 3 for 100, and we both agreed it's not going to happen under Scott Boras. He's going to allow him to opt out and go into free agency.
Sure.
So if you can't get it done, will you have him in house? Like, hey, if you're not going to offer him that right now, for example, you're coming to the table second game against the Braves, and Blake, you've been unbelievable these 7 games. 0.99 ERA. You have to do it now.
Yeah, I agree.
To do it now.
And acknowledge you're probably going to regret it in 4 years.
No,
but
you can't
know what?
Think like that.
At least you plant your flag. If I told Giants fans, you get Blake Snell and Logan Webb for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, not only that.
I think most Giants fans would say, sign me up.
Yeah, now they would. It's unbelievable how things flip, right? But if you ain't flipping, you ain't flopping at this moment, whatever that job is. But Blake Snell and Scott Boras are now dummies.
Yeah,
they understand
right.
What's going on. And so I'm just trying to be realistic here. I'm just trying to be realistic about the situation. I don't think there's any chance in hell once Blake Snell enters free agency that he's coming back here.
Well, that's
because of all the what ifs. Like, it's a what if. Is Ramos going to be this good next season? It's a what if with Fitzgerald. It's a what if. It's a what if everywhere. Luciano, it's a what if. We got a bunch of what ifs.
Well, Luciano, I'm here to tell you, Luciano cannot drive the ball.
Well,
the power is not translating.
Well, we've got a bunch
of
what-ifs.
Enough at-bats.
We've got a bunch of what-ifs, and the Padres got a bunch of, they're dudes.
Yeah,
the Diamondbacks have a bunch of, they're dudes. The Dodgers have a bunch of, they're dudes. The Phillies have a bunch of, they're dudes. The Yankees, they're dudes. And Juan Soto's going to probably re-sign with the New York Yankees. The Giants have a lot of question marks.
No doubt.
As competitive as they've been over the last month, they have a ton of question marks, Shasky.
But the Padres owner just passed away, and they have to shed payroll. So as great as that sounds, and I agree with you that they're in their window now, they've got a lot of contracts, like the Xander Bogaerts contract, it doesn't look good for them. And so they're going to have to move money to afford a five-year, let's just say hypothetically, $150, $200, $250 million deal for someone like Blake Snell.
I hear you, Spinoni. I hear you. It's coming up in a game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More of the Giants. Blake Snell, how much do you want to pay him? Or do you even think he's going to consider re-signing with the San Francisco Giants? That's coming up. Plus, we'll reveal our guest list on the other side. Talk a little football here as the Niners got so many guys out of practice. They had to limit their practice time yesterday to just 1 hour. The walking ILs. The walking IRs. The 49ers right now. Not looking good.
You obviously saw Blake last year when he had a sort of a similar stretch in the second half. Is this comparable to that or even better?
I think it's a little better, actually, because it feels like he's got a no-hitter going almost every game. And, you know, the strikeouts on top of it. I think his mix of pitches is even a little bit more so this year with the way the curveball, his usage of the curveball. It's every bit as good, if not maybe a little better as far as the stuff goes.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What up, Adam? What up, Roasters?
AD.
This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What's up?
This is the song right here. Turn it up a little. This is what Farhan should be saying to Snell. Right here. This is it. I'm telling you. Snelly, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. Whatever you want. This is it.
This is it.
You just tell him, here you go. And then Snell saying, Farhan, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I'll sign on the dot. I'm telling you right now, dude, they've got to plant their flag down right now. And look, I know you're going to overpay. It's good. You're probably going to regret a pitcher contract.
It's not even about that.
They've got to have an identity.
Listen, and I want to, 510, he says I'm being negative about Blake Snell. Like, first of all, Don't sell Snell. Yeah, I was that guy. Buy stock in the Snell. It's not about being right or wrong or anything about that. It's knowing who Blake Snell is. And now that he's putting together the second half, as Bob Melvin said, maybe a little better than last season. Why the hell wouldn't he opt out? His agent is telling him right now. We just talked to Doug Hendrickson a couple weeks ago. They know all about this. They know what's best for their client. Scott Boras said, there's no chance in hell we're re-signing right now with the Giants. We're going to test the open market. And now other teams see, like, damn, we need to get him into camp right away because this guy is filthy. His last three second halves of the season has been just dominant. Now, Bob Melvin right there was talking about his off-speed stuff. He's leaned heavily on the curveball. Yesterday, he threw 39 curveballs and got 8 swinging strikes on those curveballs. Over his last 7 starts, this is according to Alex Pavlovich here, NBC Sports Bay Area. Over his last 7 starts, he has 56 swing and misses with the curveball alone. Teams are hitting 089 against his curveballs right now. So the all-speed stuff, it's not even just a fastball. See all-speed stuff that he's dealing with right now, Shasky?
You're asking why would he sign any kind of deal? Well, because he's a pitcher. And I use the same kind of concept when it comes to pitching that I do in the NFL, which is like guys want the guaranteed money. And when you are a 31-year-old left-handed pitcher, right? Not a 22-year-old, a 31-year-old left-handed pitcher, you do also acknowledge that like as great as your run is right now, you could be Robbie Ray and be on the shelf for a year and a half, right? Like every guy.
Or you could age like Mike Scherzer. Age like Justin Verlander.
And Verlander missed an entire year at 39 years old with Tommy John. So
39,
like,
he's 31. That's 8 years from now, Shasky. Well, he may get another contract by then.
There is no data that says that you are going to hurt your arm at any given age or pitch count. It could happen anytime. You could have forearm tightness. You can have an elbow or shoulder injury. It is, of all the positions, like if he was a position player, I would agree with you. But like when it comes to pitching, 9 times out of 10, when you present an individual with a lucrative long-term deal, they're going to take that money. When it comes to pitchers who are the age of where he's at, most of these guys want to be locked up as long as they can.
Even on a mediocre team?
Well, I mean, all things considered, that's why you have to blow them away. Like, you could say mediocre team. He signed with the Giants on a one-year deal.
He had no options,
worth $32 million.
He had no options, right?
Well, they also blew away. No, Well, again, this is just what I've heard. He had other options out there that weren't as expensive as what the Giants were willing to pay. And he did not want to go. From my understanding, again, I'm not reporting. I don't pretend to be somebody who knows. He didn't want to walk in to certain clubhouses making significantly less than middle tier starters that were already in tow. And the players' union, himself, the ego, the agent, no one was going to allow him to walk into a locker room without having $30 million. Even on a one-year deal. So, like, to me, this is all about AAV and how many years he can get. And if he's reading the room correctly, like, the most he's probably going to get, given the amount of innings he's pitched, is a five, maybe. Maybe someone gives him a six-year deal, but I doubt they're going to go as high as $50 million AAV. So this is where I think the Giants need to get out in front of this. And it's still unlikely that he accepts your in-season offer. But I'd probably be very bold and very aggressive. And I'd say to myself, the Giants are going to create an identity. And their identity for the next 3 or 4 years is young players and pitching. We are going to be pitching, pitching, pitching with a bunch of young guys. And we're going to see what sticks. And maybe now a Matt Chapman wants to sign a three-year deal with you. And maybe, maybe Robbie Ray is less likely to opt out or sign a multi-year extension with you. Look, I'm playing the probability here. It's probable he'll hit free agency. What's it hurt you to overpay and try to present him with an offer now?
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. But what's different than the Tampa Bay Rays when he's on a young team?
Tampa Bay never gives five-year pitcher deals.
But what I'm saying is the situation and playing in that situation, of being a top dog in that situation, even though he wasn't getting all the money in the world, you're still on a young team that's platooning or whatnot. What's the difference between where the Rays were at and where the Giants were at? Well, the Rays were a lot better. They were competing for playoff spots. Right now, the Giants are one game over 500 and with a lot of unknowns.
The Rays have never had a payroll.
I'm not saying that, Chesky. I'm saying in terms of the personnel and the players and the unknowns.
Well, what if I said to Blake Snell, if you don't miss a month of the season early on, maybe we're 3 or 4 games better than where we're at now. You know, because of when we signed you, it kind of derailed your season. And to a degree, it kind of derailed our pitching staff and everything like that. And like next year, if we lock you in, we think we're going to be 3, 4, 5 games better. If the Giants were 3, 4, 5 games better right now, right? Don't we look at this whole situation a little different?
Well, I see it and I say, you're still 2 back of the Diamondbacks. You're still 2 back of the Padres.
You're still
back of the Dodgers. And those teams are not going anywhere. So it all sounds good, but I'm not going to, you know, I would love the Giants to re-sign Blake Snell. Again, I would love for them to do that. I'm not trying to sound like a Blake Snell hater. I've been all over Blake Snell. I love Blake Snell. I love when they signed him. I love his numbers. His last 3 years in the second half of the season. Back on May 28th, we were screaming about Blake Snell, and everybody's saying, get him out of here. He's a bum, blah, 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 blah. And I said, here's why I'm optimistic about Blake Snell in 2024. His last three, July, August, September, have been dynamic, and his ERA has gotten lower and lower each of those years. Right now, in the first 7 games, he's got a 0.99 ERA. Last year, in July, August, September, he had a 1.54 ERA. The year before that, it was a 2.19 ERA, 3.24 ERA the year before that. So I get all of it. I would love to overpay him. I'm just saying, why, when he looks at this situation, does he believe in this situation? Does he believe in this regime? Does he believe there was conversations last month that, oh yeah, he's not really a Farhad guy. He doesn't really feel what's going on in this clubhouse. He doesn't feel what's going on with this program. He still may not feel like that.
He might. I mean, I keep coming back to, you got to overpay. Like, that's what it is. It's about the comfort level of a
you have to overpay.
4 to 5, 6 year deal, and you have to give him the amount of money that's going to knock his socks off. And I look at all the guys.
I don't think
like
that's
once
good
they
enough,
hit
though.
Free agency, once a pitcher hits free agency, the numbers become staggering in terms of years.
Right.
Garrett Cole, 9 for $325. Aaron Nola re-signed with his own team, and he gave them a discount because he can win there. But Rodon, 6 for $162. Now, Glasnow just re-signed. He's a guy who was a Tampa Bay Ray and has never thrown as many innings as Blake Snell, and he did 5 for $140.
Yep.
He also doesn't have the hardware that Blake Snell has.
He's going to get the money. There's no doubt he's going to get a long-term deal, especially with the way he's pitching. I'm just asking the question, why would it be here? There's a lot of unknowns here. This team, are they going to just flip the script and be a championship contender next year? I don't know.
No, they have $50 million committed to next year and basically under $40 million right. the 3 years after that. So this is a team where I know I can carve out $50 million and I could put an ace. And I think he's worth it. I mean, that's the crazy thing is if he pitches like – he doesn't even have to pitch as good as he did yesterday. But, like, B, what you've got in the last, what did you say, seven starts?
0.99 ERA.
Has there been a pitcher in a Giants uniform, even Bumgarner, since Lincecum, this dominant for this long?
Trust me, you're preaching to the choir.
I mean, this has been the best 2 months of a Giants starter in over a decade, and we're talking about a team that hung its hat on pitching. Right. And so to me, I think he's definitely worked it, and it comes with risk. I mean, you know, these pitchers, one tweak, one bullpen, you know, covering first base, you could hurt yourself. Like, I freely acknowledge that. You're just going to have to overpay. And I think that they need to get out in front of this one. And I think it sets up the entire end of the season in a different way.
So when you say get out in front of this,
and the free agency.
He's just saying overpay once free agency starts.
I would present him with whatever you can right now, knowing he'll probably reject it.
Is that a Farhan style? I would love to get somebody on covering the Giants tomorrow to ask them the same question. Are the Giants in conversations with Blake Snell to re-sign him? Because they weren't with Carlos Rodon. They weren't with Kevin Gausman. They let those two guys walk.
And I think they regret that.
Is that his style, Farhan Zaidi?
I mean, their style has to adjust.
Does Greg Johnson want to do that? You know what I'm saying? Is this a break-even type of team? Because maybe Blake Snell sitting back said, boy, at the trade deadline, we had an option to maybe go for it. And we stood stagnant.
I mean,
we were stagnant.
Like,
I don't know what Blake Snell wants. Does he want to win?
I mean, I think he
wants to win.
I think he wants to make a ton of money. I think winning is obviously in the mix.
I think he's going to make a ton of money, though. I think he's going to make a ton of money.
I mean, he was coming off one of his best seasons last year, and he waited till a week before the season started. He signed a one-year deal.
He admitted that was a mistake.
Well, yeah.
He admitted that was a mistake. I don't think they're making the same mistake 2 years in a row, Scott Boras and Blake Snell. I don't see that happening.
But here's my question to you then, B. Like, then why didn't the Yankees and the Astros
and the Padres offer multi-years? I don't know why. I'm not in Houston.
And then
I'm not in New York City.
The first 2 months of this year,
I don't know why.
As we're looking at it over the last seven starts, a front office from another team's like, yeah, but he also got hurt, and you know the guy is up and down, and his pitch count does go up. Look, he's dynamic, but his pitch count does go up really high, and there are times where you got to yank him out in the fifth or sixth inning because he's had 100 pitches, and he's walked a couple dudes. So it goes both ways. I just look at it this way: like he's probably saying, I want the comfort of a multi-year deal, 5-6 years, and then I would like to win. That's the algorithm in some order.
I don't know. We'll see.
And look, if I'm the Giants, I'm sitting here saying, like,
we'll see.
You know, our bullpen has been really good this year, but ninth inning, the closer spot hasn't been perfect. It has not been perfect at all. So maybe we shore up some of those. We get 2 months out of the beginning of the season of Blake Snell where he's ready to roll. He doesn't have any setbacks. Maybe Robbie Ray opts in and I get, you know, instead of a second half, I get a full year of him. Things look a lot different.
They do. They may look different. They may look different at all. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. But the track record Farhan Zaidi has in this situation
ain't great.
Doesn't leave me optimistic.
Yeah, well, let's see. Right? The body of work's not great.
It doesn't leave me optimistic. Apparently, 925 says Blake Snell turned down 5 for $150 from the Yankees. I'm not sure if that's true.
I don't know if that's true.
It'd be great.
They couldn't go into the luxury tax.
But I flip it like this, though. How cool is it that they didn't trade him? Aren't we happy they didn't trade him?
For now, yeah, it's great.
For now.
It's been a lot of fun.
No. It's I don't care if he walks without the comp pick, whatever. I'm just happy they got a pitching staff that we don't have to watch like last year where we had two starting pitchers in the last 2 months.
Well, they didn't move Rodon, and he was dynamic till the very end and had a monster season.
Which I was cool with. What? I was cool with him walking.
Yeah,
I think
looking back, it's like, then he left you for nothing.
Well, Rodon has been up and down with the Yankees.
No, it's not about that. It's about you had an asset and then you lost it for nothing.
But you know what, though? You could flip it for a low-level prospect. He may never touch the major leagues.
Sure.
I'd rather have the pro player ride it out instead of having a low-level prospect that we all forget about. And we say, well, you basically lost him for nothing anyway because a low-level prospect never cracked the majors.
Well, low-level prospects are what has that helped salvage the season, like Tyler Fitzgerald and Encarnacion. So, and we could scoff at
three,
those.
3 years from now.
Well, but
3 years from now.
We act like those fruit, like that doesn't bear fruit.
3 years from now.
You have to have infrastructure in your system to be able to overspend.
Has been up for a week. We don't know what the hell he is.
Ooh.
Encarnacion's been up for a week.
And he's helped them win a couple games.
Yeah, but we don't know how long this is sustainable.
Well,
can we wait on him? Can we see a month of him before we say, well, we found something here and he's a left fielder of the future?
No, but it's helped them a little this year. Like, right? Like, the Estradas and all those randoms, like, they have been useful. No one is saying that they are, like, solidified starters and soon-to-be all-stars. Like, their real prospects are the ones that are going to get them there. Very few guys that aren't legitimate prospects crack. Like, that's just... You know, like the Yastrzemskis of the world. Yastrzemski was a top pick at one point. He just flamed out.
Well, Yastrzemski's helped you win a lot of games, too.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is like you're scoffing at that.
I am scoffing at that. I'd rather watch Blake Snell, what he's doing now, than have some low-level prospect who may or may not crack the majors. They're a dime a dozen. They're a dime a dozen. That's all it is. So it sounds good with Blake Snell, and I'm glad everybody's on board with Blake Snell. It truly makes me happy that we appreciate what he's doing right now. And maybe that's enough to convince him to stay. Hey, Oracle Park is a pitcher's park. Hey, but you know what? Dodger Stadium has a pitcher's park. Petco Park ain't bad to pitch in either. We know the Padres are interested at the deadline. Maybe they come anew, and I know their owner died, and maybe they're trying to slash payroll. Maybe this is a new Padres where they're going to spin. Because I've been hearing about them slashing payroll for the last 3 years, and all they've done is spin, and make trades.
Well, they let Snow
walk. You know? They traded for Dylan Cease right away, right?
He was under team control.
But
a less number business. Than what Snell was making.
Smart business. So I mean, it sounds good. It sounds good. I am in a position to where Farhan Zaidi's been here for 6 years, and I'm gonna wait and see. Like, it sounds good. We all want Blake Snell to be here for the future. I think we both want the same thing. But I just asked the question: why here? Why here? And is that good enough for Blake Snell to stay here?
I don't know. We're going to look at this at these signings, and this is why it's frustrating to be a Giants fan right now. Like, you get a guy on a 1 year deal, and we just wave wave the white flag that he'll never be here long term. Like, then what are we building? Like,
we're just going to try to make the playoffs, and that's it.
Like, I'm trying to build a year-in, year-out winner.
We all are, but you wanted to trade this guy at the deadline for nothing.
If you weren't going to offer him a big deal,
so I wanted to get this guy 3 years for 100. Now the prices went up again. Yesterday's price is not today's price. I thought, man, maybe you could go to him. We were talking about this literally 2 weeks ago. Hey, maybe you could get Blake Snell a 3-year, $100 million deal right now. And then we were like, well, Scott Boras is not going to live for that. Now you're telling me that Scott Boras is going to allow his client to re-sign right now?
3 for $30 is under what he's making this year, so he's not going to sign that. Like,
3 for $33. I was just like, hey, just give him $300-$400. I threw a blank number out there.
Yeah, well, that's where I think that, like, if you're going market rate, you're not going to get him at all. You have to go above and beyond. That's the same way the New England Patriots, just because you're a couple million over what the Niners are offering, Ayuk's not going to want to play there. There's a tax. So, like, you're not good enough. The Giants are kind of in the same boat. And so the only way that they're going to get these guys in these situations is if you overpay. And I think the starting point is $5 to $10 million extra per year.
Will that be enough to re-sign Blake Snell?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.